Before we start, the midah hashminis, the eighth midah, Yichboi Shavoyneseinu, we have some, just a few finishing touches concerning what was mentioned in the Torah Devar last week regarding the idea that the world basically was created with the Yois Hei. And what is significant about the Yois Hei is that it is completely open on the bottom, and is, as it were, as he quotes, that Ho'ilam is Doyim Elach Sadra, that the world is Doyim to an open porch, which allows, therefore, a person to fall as deeply as possible. However, at the same time, the Hei also has a little opening on top, which the leg is not completely connected to the roof, to the gag of the hay, which that is symbolic that no matter how far a person fell from the bottom of the hay, but there still is, he's able to climb, he's still able to climb back and make the ascent and go through that little opening, which is towards the top of the hay. What's very interesting, the famous Magid of Yerushalayim, Reb Shabsi Yudalevich, I actually heard it from him personally many, many years ago. Something under 40 years ago, when he came to New York, as one of the first times that he had come to America from Yerushalayim. And he pointed out that, he said, it's very interesting that we all know that there's such a concept called Siyata Dishmaya, which means that a person really puts his mind to do something. If he's Zoichi, he has Siyata Dishmaya, which means he gets heavenly assistance. Siyata Dishmaya, Shemaim helps him out in his mission. Now, b'derech klal, we think that only applies siyata d'shmaya, in other words, to good things. You say, I need siyata d'shmaya. Can one imagine a ganav saying, I want to be successful in my mission of Geneva, echdaf siyata d'shmaya? Sort of unlikely that you're going to have siyata d'shmaya. And the Shabbos Yudlevich pointed out, it's not true that you choose the path, you have the bechira, you have the choice whether to go b'derech hayosher or the opposite. And in fact, if what you want siyata d'shmaya, he says, to destruct, you want siyata d'shmaya to be mekalkel, ruination, destruction, avera, they'll give you siyata d'shmaya, they'll help you there also. They'll help you destroy yourself. Shemayim will assist you to destroy yourself if that's what you want. You know, you're going to plant the seed and Shemayim is going to assist you. Bein l'toiv and bein l'ra. And he said that this is significant, where Chazal tell us, on the one hand, Habol Tahir Misayin Oisoi, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet, that a person who seeks Tahari, he seeks purity, Misayin Oisoi, Shemayim helps him, Shemayim assists him, but at the same time it equally says, Habol Tamei Poishchen Loi, that if somebody is looking for Tumah, they open the door for him. In other words, the door is not going to be closed. Shemayim is going to open the door. You know, okay, if that is what you're looking for, you're looking for Tumah, Shemayim is going to open the door. Habol Tamei Poishchen Loi. And basically, he very often would give the illustration to know how far this Yata de Shemayim goes when you say Habol Tamei Poishchen Loi. Again, the world is daima to an achsadra, that one is capable of falling very, very low. And if that's what you want, Shemayim will help you. It's a frightening thought. Shemayim is going to help you if that's the derech you choose. And he points out, he says many, many times, he says, a person has many opportunities to do chatoim, to do averus, and so on. And it turns out that he's very matzliach. He's very matzliach in the wrong derech that he's going. So a person is prone to say to himself, if Shemayim is helping me, probably I'm doing the right thing. That's what a person thinks. The fact that I'm matzliach, he says to himself, if Shemayim is helping me, it seems I'm being matzliach beyond my wildest imagination, beyond my ability. He says to himself, that probably means that's a sign that I'm doing the right thing. He says, be careful. Because just because you're being matzliach, beyond your koiches, beyond your ability, is bechalal not a raya that you're doing the right thing. Because in fact, Shemayim will be misayeya, he will help you, and will assist you in the derech that you're choosing to do the wrong thing. And he pointed it out, which is a tremendous dugme, which is Beferish Echazal, and Chazal tells the following episode. I believe many, many weeks ago, or maybe even months, it could be even a year ago, we mentioned in one of the Chumashur, and we had part of it on one of the sheets then, Shabbos morning. And that is regarding the whole episode of Noach, very fascinating episode, where the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis, Tes, Pasuk Chof, Chof Aleph, we know that after the Mabul it says, Vayochel Noach Ishu Adoma Vayitak Keren. Noach goes and he plants a vineyard. Vayochel, Rashi's Vayochel, he made himself chulun. He made himself very, very cheap. Vayochel Noach. And Noach goes and he decides he wants to plant a vineyard. Turns out that he abused it. Vayesht min ayayin vayishkor, and he became drunk. He became drunk to the point that it was actually bezyonis, and it caused shame in the family and so on and so forth. And Chazal tell us, the Medrash tells us, Vayesh min ayayin, that shoso beloy mido v'nizbazo. He drank without measure. Drank without a limit. Shoso beloy mido. Noach drinks beloy mido. They make a cheshm, one cup, two cups. Shoso beloy mido, without a cheshm, without a measure, v'nizbazo, and turn into bezyonis, embarrassment. And Chazal tell us, incredible thing. The Pasuk says, again, Vayita Koram, you notice the proximity. He plants a keren, plants a vineyard, and it says, Vayesh Menayayin. Now, normally, you say to yourself, how many weeks or months went by from the time that you plant a keren, right, till you're able to drink wine? Not actually in that field. You can imagine it takes a good long while. Kam Chazal Om Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Boy Beyoim Nota. It was that day that he planted, Boy Beyoim Shosa, Boy Beyoim Nizbaz. It all happened in one day. In other words, here's something happening which is supernatural. This is what Noach desired. He wants a vineyard. He wants to drink. And Chazal say, Boy Beyoim Nota, was that day that he planted, Boy Beyoim Shosa, that day that he drank, and it was the day that he became Nizbaz. As Ibshabsa used to say, this is Noira Neroyas, he used to say. Bsholomos used to use that lotion. He says, this is Noira Neroyas, he says. Can you imagine that he goes and he plants the seed or he plants a branch and it starts immediately, it starts to sprout? The same day, he says, it begins to bear leaves. The same day, it has clusters of grapes. Not only that, clusters of grapes, the grapes are already ripe. They are ready to be squeezed out. That day, he manages to harvest the grapes, squeeze them, drink the wine, become this bazit, everything in one day. This is what you see. This was the desire that he had. Now, not always does it go to that extreme. But we see from here, we see the extent that someone can be zeichet to siyate d'shemaya, the unprecedented, unkind of a herd of siyate d'shemaya, going in the opposite derech, going the wrong derech, going in the derech of tumah, going in a derech of destruction. And the Medrash goes on, doesn't stop there. And the Medrash tells the following story. Very interesting story. That we see these kind of situations that take place in the world. And it says that the story goes, and this Medrash is in a different place. This Medrash is in Vayikra. In Vayikra Rabbo, Perek Yud Beis. Talks about that there was a family who had a father who was a drunkard. And as a result, they suffered a lot of bezyonis, a lot of embarrassment for the family. As much as they tried to wean him off the wine, they couldn't do it. At least drink with a measure, drink with a cheshm, the guy just doesn't go. As much as they tried. And not only that, he spent all his money that he didn't have, he borrowed money. He became a Baal Chayv. A lot of money, the creditors came to a point they were selling off belongings to support that habit of drinking wine. All types of mashkois, all types of different kind of drink. And the family got together, the sons got together, thinking of a way, of some sort of an etzer. What can we deal? How do we deal with this situation? What can we do? So they decided as follows. Once he came to a point, he actually was selling his pillow. He saw he had an unquenchable thirst, such a thirst that was not a normal situation. So he said, the only thing what we can do. And the idea is, he says, we're going to take him while he is really, as he's shikar like light, when he's mamish at the peak of his of drunkenness. And what we're going to do is, we're going to sort of like tie him, we're going to carry him, we're going to bring him to a cemetery, to a Beis HaKvaris. There's a certain cave there in a cemetery. Nobody goes there. We're going to put him in there in a way that he's not able to come back home. Medrash tells that story. But we're going to give all the provisions that he needs. Now, when he comes to, he won't be able to move, But basically, he'll have food and have the bare necessities of life. He'll be able to survive for a while. Eventually, they're going to take him out of there. But in the meantime, he should learn his lesson. This is what they did. So they bring him there to the Beis HaKvaros, and they tie him there, and they confine him to the spot. He's drunk. He's not aware, b'chlal, what's happening. And they have all of the food and the drink on the side. And this is the situation. Kachava, this is the way that they did. Medrash tells us that in the meantime, he says, in this cemetery, as quiet as a cemetery usually is, that along came a caravan, a few wagons of wine merchants going on the side of the cemetery to sell wine, barrels of wine in the next town. But they made a cheshbon like this, he says. You know, every town or every area, you know, has different prices for wine. So before they actually bring the wine, the barrels, into town, they want to first scout out the area. They want to first be able to find a safe place to put the wine, to unload the wagons, go into town, find out what the price is, and then they'll bring the wagons of wine, the barrels of wine to town, be able to sell it for a fair price. They don't want to lose money. Money is the best price. So what do they do? So looking around, he says, it's a cemetery. It's a great place, he says. Who visits cemeteries? He says, late at night, certainly not. And they look around, they see a cave. And that happened to be the cave where the father was there at the depth of the cave. They couldn't see, it was dark. So the Medrash tells us that they went filling the cave with barrels of wine to the point that when the father woke up, not only was he surrounded with wine, the way Hashem made it was that the spigot of the barrel was just opposite his mouth. All he had to do is open his mouth, give a turn, a twist, and the wine would just drip directly into his mouth. This person, as Reb Shapsa said, only had to make a shakel, no bracha achroin, he had no reason to stop drinking, he said. That it was enough there to keep going. This is an example of Abol Etame Poiskanoi, that this is what you want, you'll have Siyata Dishamaya. This is the path that you chose, and this is what you're going to be able to find. So again, so this is the idea that the world is Daimetu Nachsadrib, that the Talmud Devarim pointed out that we had in the previous Midot, like a hay. A person is able to fall low, not only to fall low with his own koiches, but matter of fact, Shemayim will give him additional koiches. He'll have Siyata Dishamaya to be able to have Atzlocha in that way of destruction. What we do is just one little piece on the sheet before we go to the next midah, just to conclude, just to remember one nekuda. We see here the first item on the sheet, that's still from the seventh midah from last week, and you might remember that the Talmud Devarim was explaining why is it that you need a separate path for the Baal Tshuva to come back. You can't go back the same way. You can't go back in the same way that led him to sin. In other words, he falls through the bottom of the hay, but for tshuva, he has to come through a different door, which means he needs an alternate route. And now he has to choose a different path. He no longer can afford the luxury of coming close to the areas of temptation and so on and so forth, but rather he has to distance himself much more than a person who never was chayte. Because being that he already tasted, he tasted the tam of chayt, he has to be extra careful. And therefore the lotion is, if you remember, omnom. However, he says, ha-chayte shechoto v'shov, being we're talking about the person who fell through the bottom of the hay. Now he wants to come back and do tshuva. Lo yaspik lo, he said, goder mat. A little fence or a little barrier, which would normally suffice for the average person, would not be enough for him. Because he was chayta already. But he needs to erect for himself many strong barriers. Mipnei sho'ise goder hamat. Because the normal, usual barrier, kfar nifrat pamachas, he breached it already. Im yiskarev sham, if he comes too close, Bekal yifatehu yitzroi. The Yitzhar will be able very easily to seduce him again. Eletzorach, therefore, he needs extra distance. Eletzorach leisrachek, as he points out, horchek godol miyoid. Herchek godol miyoid. Extra, extra far. Velazeh, therefore, lo yikonez derech pesach lach sadre shapir tzeshom. Therefore, he doesn't come back through the opening, right, of the achsadre, of the open porch, where that is open, that has been breached. Eli Yisale, but he climbs to the top of the hay, so to speak. He climbs to the top, the Yikoneis derech Pesach Tzar, he goes through the narrow opening, and as he adds, V'yase kama tzorois v'sigufim, and in order to have atonement for the averes that he did, he needs to undergo sigufim, self-affliction, and so on, the Yatzmoi, the Yistem HaProtzois, to be able to fix and repair all of the breaches. So I want to show you here in the bottom, we have right underneath, we have what's called Hagoyes Imreish. Agoyes Imre Yesh is from a Rosh Yeshiva in London who had passed away a number of years ago. His name was Rav Shmuel Avrom Stern. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in a yeshiva called Peres Chesed. Chassidish Shiyid, a very Choshev Yid, who also had a lot of shurim and did a lot of work on the Talmud Devarim. Anyway, he points out over here, regarding what the Talmud Devarim says that the Baal Tshuva may have to undergo, he says, self-affliction. So he brings us interesting ideas concerning this idea of segufim and various types of tzoras. So he writes as follows, V'yasekam etzoras v'segufim. Ayin Sefer Charedim, Peregimel B'Shem Riyah Kodesh. So he says, look in the Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim, of course, was Reb Elezer Azakri, who was the contemporary of the Arizal, who lived in Tzfat. He was known as the Shamus, as a matter of fact, of the Beis Medrash. Arizal, of course, was the Arizal. The Beis Yosef was the Rav. The Yal Shech HaKodesh was the Magid. And he was considered to be like the Shamus. So in Sefer Charedim, but he was much more than Stam Shamus. He was the Baal Ruch HaKodesh, as we know, as the Arizal, clearly bore testimony to the greatness of the Charedim. The Sefer Charedim was a Sefer which gives Tamei HaMitzvahs, similar to the Chinuch, but in his own style, in his own way. Also, many of the Tamei HaMitzvahs are more like Al-Pisoid, basically of the mystical side of the mitzvahs, and so on. So Sefer Charedim brings down, he says, Kol Ma, he says, Shetimtso B'Divir Rishonim. He says, you may find in some of the writings of the Rishonim, the Tzorech Lasois Al Avoinoi Segufim Yisurim Koshim. Some of the Rishonim bring very, very harsh, strong regiment of Yisurim. For example, it was common to find by great people, Kagon Gilgul Shel. Gilgul Shel would be a type of self-affliction, which means, you can imagine on a winter day, that someone goes and rolls in the snow. You can imagine what type of the effect this has on the body. But the Rizal said that's only an Elo L'misha Ein Amol L'Beteiris, when basically does not toil in Teiris. Av L'misha Teirosoi Umenosoi, he says, Amelas HaTeir Hu B'mokim Segufim. So that's one way out. He says, even according to the writings of the Rishonim, they talk about Yisurim Koshim, that's only someone who's not a normal but Torah, someone who toils in Torah, someone who gives of himself, someone who self-sacrifices himself to study Torah says will take care of all that. That's one thing. But we go further. Then he says, V'ayin b'sefer koil boichim, L'harav HaKodesh of Avrom Galanti. Avrom Galanti was, we already mentioned, was a Talmud of the Ramak of the Talmud of Torah that we're studying. Rav Galanti is Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Levroche B'Shem Rabbi HaRamak, right, Rav Moshe Kordaviro, who Rabbeinu Zal. And Rav Avrom Galanti brings B'Shem his Rebbe. In other words, that's very important now, because we just learned the Talmud Devar, it talks about Tzoros V'Sigufim. Rav Avrom Galanti, who is a Talmud, as a matter of fact, of the Talmud Devar, says that he heard from his Rebbe, the Tshuva HaYoyser Toiv Alo Averis, says the most beneficial, the best way of doing Tshuva, which is most effective, whether the Avera is Bein Bishoigi, Bein Bemezid, Hu Bizyoinis. It's something we already mentioned before. In other words, if someone suffers embarrassment, the pain of the embarrassment wipes off, he says, all of the Averis. Im Yikabalon Bahava, if a person accepts it, Bahava means knowing and understanding it's coming from Hashem, and he accepts it. The Yishtoik, instead of responding, instead of shooting back, Hu Yoyser Toiv, Metanis Oisagufim. To be Mekabal Bizyoinis Be'ahava, he says, is better than fasting or affliction. Because why? Because when a person fasts, by the way, or afflicts himself, it actually is a hindrance to his Avodas Hashem. You can't daven that good that day. You're not able to learn as well. I mean, you see in yeshivas, right? The day when it's a tiny, it's only half a day learning, half a day seder. You just can't. You can't. Your mind is not there. So if a person uses self-affliction in terms of tainus or segufim, on the one hand, he had tainus or segufim first kaparas avoinis, but tarasheni, it blocks his efforts in avodas Hashem. But if a person is in the kabbal bizyonis, he says, it doesn't weaken his guf. He says, tainus or segufim, he says, this is better. The ene machlish is aguf, the yochel echol, velishtois, velil matoira gdoisha, velispalil, and still can daven the velasis mitzvahs. Im tishala ish, he says, if you ask a person, ask a person, would you like to lose your money, he says, by having it robbed or having it burnt down? So they say no. If you'll ask him, to lose one's children, if you ask him, would you like chaloim roim, Would you like Cholila to become sick for your Averis? No, he says, I don't want that. V'chen al misa v'gehenim and so on, the Gilgulim. So Bezoi says, u'bameh yenake. So kol Averis, so he doesn't want to be sick. He doesn't want to lose his money. So how do you want to atone for your Averis? Bezoinis, he said, doesn't cost you anything. Bezoinis doesn't cost you anything. You start your whole bank account. You're not fasting. You're not physically afflicting your body. It's pain, it's tzar, but it's tzar that doesn't really cost you anything. And you're still able to do your Avodas Hashem if you're a Mekabel B'Ahava. So as he points out, this is the Nekuda. The idea is, as he'll go to the next line, he says, Im tikabel olecho bizyonis b'Ahava, oz yimchaku al yidei ze kola kitegurim, there's all of the accusers, he says, and all of the Averis will be over. Atka m'shoyne b'shun eloshin. So on, he says, you also find l'kamen b'perik beis. And look one more. Ayin Sefer Shari Kedusha Chelik Aleph, he says, Shavov, that's actually from Rabbeinu, from Chaim Vital, Shekosav, he says, Chaim Vital said, Im hoil cha seichel, Chaim Vital was the Talmud of the Arizal, if you had seichel, os tevakesh mishu yavazo ischo, you go looking for someone to be mavazo you, because the tremendous reward, the schar for bizyoinis, he says, to find a substitute, that we're able to do, and take care of your avers, like bizyoinis, he says, very difficult to find, certainly without the side effects, as he pointed out, by all the other ways. And finally, Ayin Bahan Hogis Odom, he says, from Mareinu Isha Loiki HaMefursim, Mareinu Rabbi Lemelech, Zechat Tzadiv Koshavrochas, Rebbe Reb Meilech, Ois Tezayin V'zele Shoyner. He writes in Han Hogis Odom. He has a series of Han Hogis. Im Yegana Ois Eshum Odom, if somebody happens to embarrass you, Yismach Mois. Say, be happy. Shehikra Hashem Lefonav Ishkazeh, that Hashem brought this to happen to you, as a result of that, this will serve beneficial as for kaparas avoinis. So again, these are not easy situations, but at least if one understands and we have ishtikl, maybe we can at least appreciate and understand that it's not for naught, and there's a chesumen hashemayim, and lamaitz, if one is able to find within himself to be mekabel b'ahava, he can reap tremendous rewards, more kamat than any other eitzah, as he points out, and he should be mekabel b'simcha. So this basically is what determined the virus. When he talks about tzoris v'sigufim, of all the tzoris v'sigufim, we have here an etzah, which is again to be mekabel b'zayinis b'ahava. We're doing now, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to continue again now to the next midah. So we go back to the term of the virus, which is midah aches yichboi shavoi neseinu, in the series of the Yud Gimel Midas. It says the Lashon Yichboi Shavoi Neseinu. The Beit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically he suppresses our Averis. What does it mean he suppresses the Averis? That is no such thing that really an Averis should go away by itself. So when it says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yichboi means he weighs down. He weighs down. And when he weighs down upon it, presses it down. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighs down, suppresses our Averis? Hare HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Misnaig, he says, Im Yisrael B'midazu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, basically, this is the midah, Yichboi Shavoi Neseinu, is the midah how Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with us. V'hisoid, he says, and that is Kivisha Sa'ovin. That is, Kadosh Baruch Hu, basically, he suppresses our Averis. How does that mean? What does it mean Hashem suppresses our Averis? Kihinei HaMitzvah Hi Kepoirachas Olso Nitzo. First, he's trying to explain to us the difference of what one achieves when one does an Avera, as opposed to what one achieves when one does a mitzvah. In other words, one thinks that they are a balance between a mitzvah and Avera. The only thing, mitzvah is on the positive side, and the koich of the Avera is on the negative side. So, Bashkofa Rishayna, at first glance it appears that the koich of a mitzvah and Avera are the same. The only difference is the koich of the mitzvah is on the positive side, and the koich of the Avera is on the negative side. Says the Toimer Devari says it's not so. The koich of a mitzvah is not merely on the positive side, but it is so much stronger on the positive side than he says than the devastation of the avera on the negative side. Kihine ha mitzvah, he says, as far as the mitzvah is concerned, he kepoirachas also nitzo. One can compare mitzvahs as a vine that blossoms. Not only it blossoms, when it blossoms, basically what we have fruit developing. We have fruits developing and growing, and it continues to grow, right? A vine, a tree grows, uboikaz ve'oila, and it continues to grow up, up, without a gvul, without any limit, all the way, Adin Tachlis without any limit, Lehikonis Lefonov Yizbarech, actually to enter the presence of Hashem. What you have to imagine is that like this. We are down here on this world. Can you imagine if someone would tell you, you know what? Here, plant a seed, and you can hope for a tree to sprout. So we know a tree, you have tall trees, you have taller trees, even taller trees. Two-story building, three-story building, the height of a tree. Imagine someone tells you that I'm going to give you a way that you can plant a tree, which is not only going to be higher than the tallest building, but the tree is going to grow all the way up to Shemayim, heavenward, up to into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can you imagine such a tree? You can plant such a tree. That's what happens when you do a mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, that mitzvah just continues to grow and continues to blossom, as it were, and it reaches all the way to the highest of high, to the most high, into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah that you have performed, you have done down here, that mitzvah sprouts forward. That mitzvah continues to grow, begins to blossom, continues to grow, and it actually shoots up all the way till the mitzvah finds itself in the presence of Hashem. That's the far-reaching effect of doing a mitzvah. That is by a mitzvah. An avera also goes up, but it doesn't go up that high at all. He says, however, omnom, on the other hand, hu avoinois ein lohem knisah shom chas v'sholem. Averis do not have an entrance in the domain of Hashem, as it were. Elekoyv shom shalo yikonsu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, he sort of blocks them. He suppresses them, not allowing them to enter. Kidechsiv, as the Posek says in Tehillim, the Posek says, lo yigurcha ro. Now, literally speaking, the translation is that ra, that which is evil, right, does not dwell with you. It means lo yogur b'megurcha ro. So say Chazal and Shabbos. It means that anything that's evil, like avera, is not capable of being in your presence, in your dwelling place. The ra that the Yidden have done, the ra that human beings have done, cannot go as high to find themselves in your dwelling. Which means imkein, ein ho'ovoin nechnas prima. So first of all, what we see is that the effects of the avera, as devastating as they are, they have effects and kukulim, as we pointed out already from the Nefesh HaChaim, the B'chaim Volozhiner. But whatever we do down here, it does have effects, but it doesn't go up high, as it were, in the actual presence of Hashem, even though Hashem is everywhere, so everything is relative that we're talking about, the presence of Hashem in the uppermost high, like with the Kisei HaKovid, for example. Avera doesn't go that far. Umitam zeh, and therefore, schar mitzveh b'hai al melekeh. And he points out it's for this reason that the reward for mitzvahs do not take place in this world. In other words, Hashem will give us what we need to survive. Hashem will give us what we need to be able to live and so on. But the actual reward of the mitzvahs is reserved for the next world. Hashem does not deplete our schar by giving us a schar for the mitzvah in this world. He explains why. Why is it that we do not receive the actual schar of the mitzvah, Bahai Alma? Why not? So he says, Mipnei Sheheim Lefonov Yizborach. Because being that the mitzvah, where is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is no longer, you did the mitzvah down here. But the mitzvah, actually, the achievement, the consequence, the result of the mitzvah is in Shemayim in front of Hashem. The mitzvah finds itself in the spiritual world. The reward also is spiritual, because you cannot give the spiritual reward, as it were, in this physical world. The mitzvah that you did here is not really no longer here. It's like remote control. You push a button here, and all of the effects are way up there. Today we can understand something like that. So Mamela, the effect of the mitzvah finds itself transported, it's all the way up there in Shemayim. Being that the mitzvah is standing before Hashem in the spiritual world, as a result, the schar, which is spiritual schar of the mitzvah, because that's what the mitzvah is in the spiritual world, cannot become transformed into the physical world. And we'll explain that a little more later. Let's just move on. As he says, so being that the mitzvah is lefonav yizborach, the mitzvah is in front of Hashem in the spiritual world. So veheich yiten loy, how is it possible for Hashem to grant mimash lefonav socha ruchani boilam gashmi? How can I give you spiritual reward in the material world? Vaharei kol olam eino kedai lemitzvah achas. It means that this entire world is not capable of containing even the reward of one mitzvah. Ulekoyras ruach hashul lefonav. And all this spiritual enjoyment right, of the presence of Hashem. But basically what it means is, and Rav Dessler points it out in Michtav Melio, in Chelik Aleph, on page 16, that he points out the truth is that when you do a mitzvah, he says, when you do a mitzvah the right way, a mitzvah l'shem shemayim, you do a mitzvah because Hashem commanded you to do the mitzvah. And the purpose of doing the mitzvah is because Hashem asked us to do the mitzvah, commanded us to do the mitzvah. The mitzvah creates an aura of kedusha, which means that we become connected to Hashem. The mitzvah is not in isolation. I just did a mitzvah, and it's recorded with a check mark in Shemayim. A mitzvah creates an aura of kedusha. We are now surrounded by an atmosphere of kedusha. In other words, we become connected, dveikus b'Hashem. The mitzvah creates a dveikus b'Hashem. If your mitzvah creates a dveikus b'Hashem, you know what your schar should be? The schar should be additional dveikus b'Hashem, which we learned in the Ramchal, if you remember, in the opening chapter of the Ramchal, that the Tanig Huamiti, we have no way even understanding it from our physical standpoint, because we have no idea what that means. We just talk about it in theoretical terms. But we are told that the Tanig Huamiti, that there is no pleasure, the true pleasure, is the pleasure of being close to Hashem. And that's something we cannot understand with our physical being, in our physical minds even. We can't understand that. But the Metzius is, this is the Tanig Huamiti, and there's nothing that can even come close or even to explain it by way of a moshul. This is similar to that. That's the Tanig Huamiti. And Rav Dessler says, any dveikus b'Hashem that a mitzvah creates down here, the schar and the reward in Shemaim will be greater dveikus b'Hashem 1,000 times over, 10,000 times over. So you can imagine, if the Tanig Huamiti, the true pleasure is to be dovuk b'Hashem, whatever dveikus b'Hashem your mitzvah caused, which is limited on this world, but the schar that you'll be zoichet to dveikus b'Hashem, he says, will be la'alofim, he says, ve'elef alofim, 1,000 times, 1,000 times more than dveikus b'Hashem. That level of dveikus b'Hashem you can't enjoy here on this world. It's not possible. That's what he points out. The whole world, he says, if you'll fill it, cannot contain even the reward of one mitzvah. And we'll see more about that soon. This is what he points out. Kol o'ilo meinu kedai le'mitzvah achas. He says, the entire world is not worthwhile, he says, even of a single mitzvah. And all the tremendous spiritual nachas, the spiritual oinig, the spiritual pleasure, which is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which that you will get over there, in the next world. And he goes on further, umetamzeh, and for the same reason meaning is, that when it comes to a mitzvah, the mitzvah finds itself up in Shemayim, it sprouts upward, it shoots upward, in the presence of Hashem, as opposed to the Avera, as we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suppresses it, does not allow the Avera to go as high and as far. The time is that because of that reason, for that distinction also, Vayikach Shoichad al Mitzvahs. Because Baruch Hu does not accept any, as it were, any type of bribe when it comes to mitzvahs. What does it mean? What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't accept mitzvahs as bribes? Now, we know money is usually what is called a bribe. What does it mean to bribe with mitzvahs? To bribe with mitzvahs means a person says to himself, you know what? He says, maybe I'll do something which is not really ethical. I'll make $1,000,000, and you know what? And I'll give 20% to build a yeshiva. So you're bribing Hashem with a mitzvah. You're telling Hashem, you know, overlook. He says, overlook what I did. Overlook my dishonesty. Overlook my negative behavior. Because of why? Because I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that to do something positive. That's called trying to bribe Hashem to overlook what I did, what was wrong, because of some of the right that I may do. Hashem doesn't accept bribes. You can't bribe him with mitzvahs. You can't say that you should forgive the wrong because you did mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, you get tchar for mitzvahs. The Avera is a separate cheshem. And he points out here, further. Hamoshel bozeh. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eimer. Because Baruch Hu, example, will not say in the following situation. If you have a situation that also are boim mitzvahs ve'esra averis. Imagine if you have a person who, let us say, did 40 mitzvahs and he has 10 averis. So Hashem will say, you know what? You have 10 averis, you have 40 mitzvahs, so let's have 10 cancel out 10. Now, your 10 averis will cancel out your 10 mitzvahs, and now you'll have 30 mitzvahs. So in other words, why bother punishing you for the 10 averis? All we'll do is deduct 10 mitzvahs, right? 10 mitzvahs for 10 averis, 10 against 10, and you're left with 30 mitzvahs. That would be called Hashem, you're bribing Hashem, right, to take care of your averis because you're giving him mitzvahs. That would mean you're bribing Hashem. For the 10 averis that you have done, right? There's not going to be a din b'cheshem, because Hashem says, you know what? I'll take your mitzvahs instead. Take your mitzvahs. Shidu azazach, he says. It doesn't go like that. And he explains why. Chaz v'sholom. But he's Ela Afilu Tzadik Gomer. First, you have to understand what an Aveira means. You can't just block out an Aveira, just make it non-existent by trade-off. No trade-off, he says. Ela Afilu Tzadik Gomer. An Aveira is an Aveira no matter how great a Tzadik does it. Say he's a big Tzadik, that's not an Aveira. No, on the contrary. The bigger the Tzadik is, then the force of the Aveira, for him doing the Aveira, it's even worse. Ela Afilu Tzadik Gomer Vosa Aveira Achas. But even if you have a great Tzadik, a perfect Tzadik, and he does one Aveira, Doimel Lefonov Kilusorov Es HaTorah, in the eyes of Hashem, you might as well you burn the Sefer Torah. Because first of all, if you take out one mitzvah from the Sefer Torah, by the way, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. Even if one letter of the Sefer Torah is missing. You have one Oysa, what happens when you have an Oysa Achas missing Sefer Torah? You have to put away Sefer Torah, take out the second one. So one mitzvah, you say, you can't say, you know, there's 613 mitzvahs, you know what? Hashem won't do too bad with 612. It'll be one less. No. One mitzvah, one Aveira, he says, Doim Alephon of Kilusar of the Torah. It's one unit. It's one entity. Achirat says Choyvoy. And therefore, you basically have to take care of the Choyv. In other words, you have to pay your debt. You have to appease Hashem. Ba'achikach, Yekabel Schar Kol Mitzvoyso. And he says, and then you'll receive the reward for all of the mitzvahs. The Aveira will not wipe out. You take care of your Aveira, and all of your mitzvahs remain standing as they were. There's two separate cheshbonis. The Aveira is one cheshbon, and your mitzvah is a separate cheshbon. And he points out, so somebody will say to himself, I wish, instead of Hashem, you know, causing some sort of onshin on the Aveira, I wish you'll take, you know, a check. You know, take the mitzvahs, you know. Why does he want to give me Yisurim for anything? Let him take some mitzvahs. Says, you don't understand what you're paying. If you're giving Hashem a mitzvah for an Aveira, you're overpaying. Nobody wants to be cheated. You have no idea what you're giving up. When you say, I'll give up a mitzvah, so what? Give up a mitzvah. So he points out to you, he says, that's a bad deal. That would be a bad deal if Hashem says, you know, you have 40 mitzvahs, you have 10 Aveiras. You know what? I'll subtract 10 mitzvahs for the 10 Aveiras. It's not an even deal. You're outpaying, you're overpaying. He says, to no end. That's a chesed godol sha'oisa kodesh brochu im atadikim she'enoi menake. It's a chesed godol. We sometimes don't recognize it, we don't see it. But I want you to know, he says, it's a tremendous chesed that Hashem does not deduct from the mitzvahs, he says. Nifdei sha'amitzvah is chashuv is me'oid. The reason you want to make that deal is because you don't understand the worth. You don't understand the worth of the mitzvah. Not a maven on this piece of property here. You're underselling it. Not a maven. So he says that the mitzvahs are chashuvas moed un misalois ad lefon of Yisbarach. As he pointed out, the mitzvahs go all the way up and they stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have an idea what a mitzvah means? The hech yinake mehen bishvilo aveiris. How do you expect? Hashem would be cheating you, as it were. Hashem would go and take away some mitzvahs in order to wipe out some Aveiras. Kishchar hu Aveira, first of all, Aveira is mechelik haGehenim. The punishment, of course, from Aveiras is from Gehenim, of course, which is shameful, mehanivze. The chelik from the Gehenim, which is mehanivze, which is shameful. Ba mitzvah is sechor and mehanichbot. The mitzvah, their schar is from the most exalted, from the most honored place, ziva shchina, from the radiance of the shchina. As bad as Gehenim is, you can't compare the bad of Gehenim to the good that comes out of the mitzvah. To the glory, to bask in the glory of Ziv HaShchinah, in the radiance of the Shchinah. Heich Yenaki, says, Elu Keneged Elu. How can you have one be deducted because of the other? Elo, therefore, how does the Kodesh Baruch Hu work it? He works it this way. Like Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, Goyve Choyvu Averis. Kodesh Baruch Hu collects the debt that's due for the Averis. Of course, a person can do tshuva. He can know that. Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the meantime, he will collect the choiv of the Averis. And umaskir schar kol ha-mitzvahs. But he'll pay you the full reward for the mitzvahs. The Averis will not take away from your mitzvahs. You don't understand what a chesed that is. That the Averis don't take away from your mitzvahs. And that's what it means. Yichboi shavu niseinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu suppresses the Averis. Does not allow the Averis to affect the mitzvah. Does not allow the Averis to affect your mitzvahs. And if you have an idea what it means, the schar of the mitzvah, you'd understand what a chesed it is. Could have been easy to make a trade-off, to say, okay, we'll trade it off. 10 Aveiras for 10 mitzvahs, you know, I'm finished. So now we're even on that score. But he says, no, it's a tremendous chesed. Hashem does not do that. That's what it means. Yichboi shavoy nisenu she'enu avoynoiz mizgabrim lefonav kemitzvah. That is the chesed does not allow the avera to sprout to shoot up in the same level as a mitzvah. The negativity of the avera does not reach the positiveness of a mitzvah. They're not unbalanced. The bad of the avera is not unbalanced as to the good of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is much higher. Elakoyvish oisam. He suppresses the avera not to be able to affect the mitzvah. They should not even be in the same chamber of the mitzvah. The averas don't go that high at all. The mitzvah goes all the way up. Hashem koyvish oisam. He suppresses the avera shelo yisalu v'lo yikonsu. That they should not be able to rise up and not be able to enter. That's called yichbo shavanisainu. Im hayois. Shehu mashgiach al darkei ish. Even though Hashem observes all the ways of a man, whether it's good or bad, hatoiv v'hara, im kol zeh, hatoiv einoi koiv shoy, when it comes to the good, Hashem does not suppress it. In other words, He allows it to continue to grow. That tree grows and grows and grows. It blossoms, poireach v'oyla ad l'moid. And not only that, if a person does 10 mitzvahs, 15 mitzvahs, all of these mitzvahs collectively get together and become like one large, big entity. Tremendous building, a gorgeous building, spiritual building. The nichlal mitzvah, the mitzvah, one mitzvah, right, is koilel itself. One mitzvah basically merges together with another mitzvah. And nivna mimenu binyan ulevush nechbav. Tremendous, gorgeous skyscraper. Skyscraper of mitzvah, a spiritual skyscraper. Tremendous, binyan. Ba'avoinis, however, averis ein lahem zgulazu. But averis, as bad as they are, they don't have this quality. And the koivish oisam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suppresses them, does not let them grow too high. Shlo yatzlichu, that they have no success. He says, atzloch hazu, they should not have this type of success. V'lo yikonsu pnima, not be able to come, as we said, into the inner chamber, as it were. Fine. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals the difference between the mitzvah and the avera. And again, Hashem does not allow the avera to be misgabra, sort of to overpower, to infringe on your mitzvahs. Because Baruch Hu recognizes the mitzvah in spite of no matter how many averas you have, but your mitzvahs are mitzvahs. What are we to learn from that? Benodim HaChaveres. As always, at the end of the midah, now comes our chelik. Our chelik, what we have to learn, what do we learn from that? How do we apply it to our lives? Says now the term of Devarim conclusion, again, like by each and every midah here too. What do we focus on here? Ba'af midazu. Therefore, when it comes to this midah also, Tzarchu Odom Lihis Naigbo. Man has to try to work on himself to acquire this midah, this attribute as well. Namely, in private life, people can have acquaintances that have done him good and have done him bad. The person tends to negate the good because someone did bad. The term of the virus. Don't negate the good. Don't forget the favor that someone did to you. Maybe he also did something bad. The same way that Hashem did not allow the virus. Right, to overpower, right, to infringe on the mitzvah, these are two separate things. And therefore, remember the good. Hashem looks at the good separately. Same way should be ben odom l'chaveiroi shlo yichboi shtoi v'schaveiroi. Man should not suppress, right, a favor that your fellow did to you. The yizkoi ra'osoi, because you're going to remember the bad shugamalohu. Because you're going to remember the bad that was done to him. So because of the bad, you're going to negate the good also. You're going to wipe away the good. You're going to forget the good because of the bad. People have such a tendency. People have a tendency, if somebody did you 500 favors, if he does one thing bad to you, you forget about the 500 favors. You're going to remember that one thing he did bad to you. That's it. 500 favors he did to you. If he does one thing bad, you forget about all the things. He becomes your enemy. He did one thing bad to you. He says, on the contrary, El Adrab. Adrab, he said. Contrary. If anything, if you have to suppress not the good, suppress the bad. Is anything going to suppress here? But rather suppress, he says, the bad part of it. Try to forget it. Erase it. Don't allow it. Don't allow it to dwell within yourself. Try to get rid of it. Try to banish it from your mind. And if you want to remember, you should remember the good. Dwell on the good. Dwell on the good. Remember the good. Bring up the good. And the favor that was done to you, that should always be in front of you. And always remember, he says, and allow it to prevail over the bad. He says, and a person should not subtract in his heart, the yoimin, he says, Imotali toiva. Okay, he didn't eat a toiva, but I was only wrong. But he also did bad to me. That's human nature. The yishkach toiva, and as a result, he's going to forget the toiva. Lo yaseke. No, he says, that is not the way of a yid. Elaberoo yisratze kol derech ritzu sheyuchal. But rather, he should allow to be appeased in every way possible. Should accept appeasement. He should allow himself to be appeased. As far as the good is concerned, he should never turn a blind eye to that. The Yalamein of turn a blind eye, he says, Minaro komash yuchal, as much as you can. Kederch the same way Shekodesh Baruch Hu is koivish avoinis, the way Kodesh Baruch Hu suppresses the avoinis. Kedeprashti, as we have explained. So again, so this is a very, very fascinating midah again. All part, again, in life of Anhoge, Balachta Bedroch of Temile Hashem. So I just want to show you, let's take a look at the sheet. We have here from Rav Dessler. They're very fascinating words. Remember, the Talmud Devarim told us that being that the mitzvah outweighs the avera, mitzvah for mitzvah, mitzvah goes all the way up to the top. Mitzvah goes into Hashem's dwelling, but ra evil lo yagurcha, evil cannot dwell in Hashem's presence. Hashem does not allow it; He suppresses it, and does not allow the avera that a person did to infringe on the mitzvah. And Hashem will not take away mitzvahs in place of averis because it's a chesed godel. It's a chesed godel because the quality and the schar of a mitzvah is something that the entire world, if you fill the entire world with reward, it cannot amount to do justice for one mitzvah. It's an amazing thing. And you want to know how far that goes? Who can say it best than Rav Dessler himself? Take a look. Imechem Leo. Omru Zal. See the second item we have here. It's an Omud 4, Chelek Aleph Omud 4. Gemara says, Char mitzvah behai al malekeh. The schar of a mitzvah in this world, right, is not here. Now, translate these words literally. Schar mitzvah, the schar of a mitzvah behai al malekeh, in this word, lekeh. It's not here. But he's going to say at the end, that's not the meaning. Does not mean the schar of a mitzvah, lekeh, is not here. Schar mitzvah b'hai alma leke, it's not possible. You can't pay for it. That's why it's not here. We're not being told merely a statement that Hashem does not pay schar in this world. He has a reason to pay it in the next world. The interpretation of the words schar mitzvah b'hai alma leke means on this world it's not possible. It's not possible. Even if I give you schar, I give you all the schar in the world, you still won't have it. Schar mitzvah b'hai alma leke means not he's not giving you schar. It means that he can't give you schar. Because all the schar he'll give you, you still won't have the schar. That's the shum. You're not going to have it. And I'll explain to you why. It says, Om nam hinyan om kmoid, veroy levaroy el nochid. Om muzal ovis. We know the quote in Masechtas Ovis, it says, Perek Daled Yud Zayin. Yofo sho achas shol koiras ruach boilam habo. Listen to the statement. 1 hour, let's call it. It doesn't, sure doesn't always mean an hour, it could mean a moment. But let's say an hour, okay. We'll give you an hour. 1 hour of Olam Habo, of Nachas. 1 hour of pleasure in Olam Habo is more, is better, Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh. That itself should say a mouthful. If we're trying to figure out Tzchar of the Mitzvah to be paid on the next world or this world, how can you compare the two entities? How do you compare the two entities? 1 hour of Olam Habo, 1 hour of Olam Habo is more than your entire life on this world. And he's going to explain that. To what extent even? We have no idea to what extent. This alone seems incredible. But it's much more than that. And he goes on. He says, Gam dover zet zorach biur v'hizboinenus. He says, this also needs to be explained and understood. Chepzi, he says, legalit b'zeh. I want to reveal it to you. I want to explain to you what this means. Majaz chisi lishmoya, I heard it. Mahoit kvoit admur, I heard it. Mareinu rab tzvihersh broide, that's all. You know rab tzvihersh broide? Who perished and explained as follows. When it says in Chazal, 1 moment or 1 hour of Olam Haba is more than Mikol Chaya Olam Hazeh. What does Mikol Chaya Olam Hazeh mean? So Tzvi Hirsch Breide said as follows. I want you to imagine, if you are able to capsulize, if I will be able to take 80 years worth of life, take 90 years worth of life, 90 years worth of life, thousands and thousands of hours, in 90 years worth of life, you have thousands of hours. Imagine if I can take all of those thousands of hours, right, and put it into a capsule, right? This capsule like this, one little capsule. Today, you know, you're able to put in a chip, you can put all of Shas, right? So, imagine if I can take Kol Chaya Olam Hazeh. If I can take Kol Chaya Olam Hazeh, and I'm going to collect all the regoyim of pleasure. Imagine if I can collect all the regoyim of pleasure. Im Nekabez El Toich Rega, and put it into one Rega. Let's take all, right? Im Nekabez, if we'll collect El Toich Rega Achat, as Kol Shoyz, we're going to condense. We're going to condense into one Rega all the hours. The Gam Regoyim Shel Ushar V'Nachas Sheish L'Odim B'Meshach Kol Mechayim. He's starting on the lower level. He says, a person, let's say, you live 90 years, right? Let's say 90 years. Okay, you live 90 years. How much pleasure, if you were asked to account for in the 90 years? You didn't have 90 years full of pleasure. That's for not. Let's say, let's give it half and half. Let's say 45 years of pleasure. Let's say we can take those 45 years. In your lifetime, you had 45 years of pleasure. You lived 90, but how many years were pleasurable? 45 years, let's say. So take 45 years of pleasure and put it into one rega. That's the pleasure of your Chai Olam Hazeh. He says like this. So if you take all the pleasure of your lifetime and put it into one rega, but let's just stop there. Let's condense a little more. V'netzaref lozeh, and let's add to that eskol ha'usher, and all of the glick and all of the pleasure of ha'nachas, sheyesh l'chol chaveirov umyudoyov b'chol yemei chayeyem. So let's now decide, for argument's sake, let's include a little more into this little chip. Let's not only condense into this one rega all the pleasure of your lifetime, but how about all your friends that you know? So let's say you know about 500 people, right? You have 500 acquaintances. So let's take the pleasure of all those 500 people, right? 45 years, 45 years, assuming they all have. Take all the pleasure. So not only yours, take all of that pleasure multiplied by all the people that you know and put that all into one rega. Put that all into one rega. Can you imagine? I mean, you can imagine. You really have your tons of pleasure here. You have condensed the pleasure, not only your lifetime, but of hundreds of people. You have condensed it into one rega. Ha'imepshel l'shayer. Is it possible, he says. By the way, and give all that to one person. Let them say. And now, here's a little chip of pleasure. Here you have a little chip of pleasure. This little chip, you know, is going to represent not only 45 years of your pleasure, but it's going to represent 45 years of all the hundreds of people that you know, their pleasure, and I'm giving it all to you. Can you imagine how much pleasure that you're going to have in your hand? But let's not stop there. As he says, Hayim Epshel Ishayres Madregas Hu Ushor Asher Yargish Odom Ahu Berega Ahu, in that moment. It doesn't stop there. Kinitzarif, let's also add El Toich HaRegahu. Once we're adding, once we're condensing, we'll end up a little more, right? So if we're going to add El Toich HaRegahu, V'nitn L'odam Hazeh, Kol HaUsher, we're also going to add all the pleasure, V'anachas, Sheyesh La'anche Kol HaIr B'meshach Kol Yemei Chayeh. How about not only limiting it to your acquaintances? You live here in New York, right? Right? You have millions of people. You know what? We're going to take all the pleasures of all the millions of people that they have during their lifetime, we're condensed that also into one rega and give it to you. So you're going to have in your hand millions of regoyim of pleasure. Millions and millions of regoyim of pleasure, because this represents the pleasure of not only yourself, not only your acquaintances, but the entire city, right? Of millions of people, all their pleasure has also been condensed into that little chip. And go further. Let's not stop there. See how he builds this up. How about adding and condensing, right? And capsulizing into that chip. How about the whole country? Why stop here? Why stop with New York? The whole state. And why the whole state? Why not the whole country? Right? All the states of the United States. And take the pleasure, so now you have millions and millions of people. Take all the pleasure of each individual person and put it into one chip. And we're giving it to you. You know how much pleasure you're going to have? It's not shy. You can't, there's no way to imagine it even. No way to imagine it. Take that. Ubechol Medina Medina. And how about not stopping here? Go from each country and country in the world. Take the pleasures of all those people. You're going to billions now. Right? Now you're into the billions. Take the pleasures of billions of people. Kol Yemei Chayeihem. Not one moment of pleasure of billions of people. That's also a lot. One moment of pleasure of billions of people. Take all the pleasure from a lifetime of billions of people and condense it all, he said, into one rega. He said, which means, He says, "Heine kol toiv sheba'olam," which means you're going to take all the pleasure in the universe, the meshech doyer shalom, for an entire generation. V'ha'koil nitzaref el toich rega achas, and put that all into one rega and give it to one person. You know what you're going to have? Mekol mokoyim adayin ein ze kol chaye olam hazeh. This is still not kol chaye olam hazeh. You know why? Because that's only this generation. What about last generation? What about the generation before? But if I'm talking about kol chai olam hazeh, that means im nitzaref, we're going to have to add more. I'm not satisfied yet. We're going to have to add, it's kol usher, all of the pleasure. Shebechol adoyrois, mereshis habriya tzot kol adoyrois. So I'm telling you now like this. Since Shejus Mebreshis, right? What's this? Tavshin Samach Zayin, right? 5,700. So go back 5,000 years. Start from Brias Olam. From Brias Olam till today, all the billions and billions of people that have lived take the pleasure of each individual person. Yidden Goyim doesn't make a difference. Take all that pleasure. Generation after generation, generation, billions of people in each generation. Take the pleasure of all those billions of people, just billions on top of billions on top of billions. Condense it all into one chip, and I'm giving it to you. You know what? 1 hour of Olam Haba is more than all that. Yopasho achas shel koiras ruach avot mikol chaye olam hazeh. That's what kol chaye olam hazeh means. Not just this generation, not just your chaye olam hazeh, the existence, the metzias of chaye olam hazeh. The concept of chaye olam hazeh means from Shezis and Mebreshis till today. It's not shy to explain it. This is what Rav Dessel says that he heard from Svi Hershbreidis. This is what it means. But it goes further, he says, but you notice it's a modern loshen. It's an interesting loshen. The loshen is, we're concluding right now, Yovecho achas shel koiras ruach. Should say nachas ruach. In other words, 1 hour, 1 moment of nachas, of pleasure. What's the loshen? 1 hour of koiras ruach. What does koiras ruach mean? What type of a loshen is this? It means pleasure, somehow. We know it means pleasure. But what type of a loshen is this? Yovecho achas shel nachas ruach. Maybe shall usher, but it's an aleph, not usher. Usher means click, right? What koris ruach? So he says, he heard from his shver, says Rav Dessler. Says, I'll give you a moshul. He says, the moshul is, you see, go a little bit further. He says, koris ruach boilam habo. If you go down like 3-4 lines from where we're up to. He says, apple pikein, he says, koris ruach boilam habo, god lamen, will beer, madrigas, koris ruach, pirish, admir, moiri, chomi, zatal. Zechatati, vikosh, lavrocha. So you can see, I'm going to give an example. He says, the example is like this. He says, it's a hafla of the fellow Gezach. He says, can you imagine, he says, when you have a royal banquet, I'll tell you about how, because we'll stop here. He says, you have a royal banquet. And you have a royal banquet, so of course there are very few people who have the privilege of being invited to a royal banquet. You have to be somebody. You have to be someone. So you can imagine you have this royal banquet, and you have people passing by on the street, and you have this hungry oni. You have this poor man who's starving. What would he most like to have? He said, most at this time, he's passing through. He said, he'd like an invitation to be invited, to be able to come down, have a seat, you know, even in the back somewhere, you know, and have something, a bite to eat of all the delicacies that's being served at this royal banquet. But you know what? They don't let him in. He can't come in. However, the good news is, says Rav Dessler, the good news is, the windows are open. So, even though he's not able to go in, he's able to smell. he says, the pleasure of inside is absorbing, right? Is the whiff, the shmek, the reach. It's not the real thing. It's just a shmek. So Rav Dessler, you know what? Not everybody sometimes has a schus to actually be in Olam Haba. You let him stand on the outside of Olam Haba to give a shmek Olam Haba. A little reyach of Olam Haba. Guess what? Yofo Shoachas Koiras Ruach means not Olam Haba, a shmek of Olam Haba. Even the shmek of Olam Haba is more than Kol Chai Olam Hazeh. You ever done all this? We just made this cheshbon of what Olam Haba, one moment of Olam Haba, is more than the entire Chai Olam Hazeh. From Shezus and Mebreishis, from the Brias Olam, till the end of time, not till now, till the end of time. 1 hour of Olam Haba. So not only actual Olam Haba is more than all that, but I feel the Koiras Ruach, I feel the Shmek. Now when you hear that, how can Hashem pay you this Chai Mitzvah in this world? And you take the whole world, this world and last world, last week and last year, last generation, from the time of creation, it's still not going to amount to 1 hour. How can Hashem pay the Tzchar V'Mitzvah? Tzchar V'Mitzvah B'Hai Alam Aleki means not that Hashem doesn't pay. You don't get it. Leki means it's not possible. It's an Ishmegelech. That's what Leki means. It's a new interpretation of Tzchar V'Mitzvah B'Hai Alam Aleki. Like the Miller used to say many times, you want to imagine, he says, this is in our, the way our minds work, he says, imagine somebody says he's writing a check. So he puts it, starts with a one. He's writing zeros and zeros. He gets to the end. There's enough papers. He writes on the desk. He writes zeros and zeros and zeros and zeros. Till the end of the world, he's writing zeros and zeros and zeros. And it's still not enough, he says, to pay the schar for one mitzvah. That's the Yofa Shoachas. Shokairas Ruach Boilam Habo. Gokhaya Oilam Hazeh. We have a shtickle idea what Oilam Habo is. We have the ability to do it. We should be zoiche.